Hello and welcome to the Fastest Lap Podcast, helping you to stay up to date with the fast moving world of Formula One. Today, we welcome you to our annual team review episode, where we look back at the seasons of three different Formula One teams. My name is Jan, and as ever, I'm with Roy. Hello everyone to episode 120 of the Fastest Lap Podcast. It has been a long year for all Formula One teams, with 21 races on the calendar, and today we review the seasons of Mercedes, Force India and Williams, so all Mercedes or Mercedes customer teams. So let's directly start with Mercedes winning the World Constructors Championship. Would you say there was much room left to improve on Mercedes' side?
Well, I think in the second half of the year, it was clear that they pulled away from Ferrari. But yeah, definitely, I mean, in the first half of the year, it looked like that they were perhaps the second best team. But you know, once again, in the latter stages of the season, they kept calm and they brought home the result.
And also, I think one of their strong points really was reliability. I mean, only I mean, in Austria, both cars DNF'd, but other than that, I can't really remember. Was there any other DNF for a Mercedes car this year?
I don't think so. No,
I remember. No, there wasn't. I remember wasn't. Germany qualifying where Hamilton had an issue, but other than that,
yeah, but that was his fault.
yeah, but that Mercedes car is so bulletproof. I mean, really good season in terms of reliability, but also performance. You said it. I mean, arguably it was the second, but I wouldn't say that. I'd say it was on par with Ferrari, at least if you look at different racetracks. But of course, every racetrack has its specific needs and suits different cars. But yeah, very, very strong car, very reliable. The thing is, the second driver, Valtteri Bottas, in the team, didn't maybe extract as much performance as Lewis Hamilton out of the car, right?
No, he didn't. I think it was a very disappointing year for Bottas. He said himself that it was probably his worst year in Formula One, which I think is fair enough, because if you look at his results over the year compared to Hamilton, it's... I mean, it's pretty huge. He finished, you know, over 150 points behind in the championship, which is huge. And I think that's going to be a lot of pressure on his shoulders going into next year, because
especially with Ocon.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, there's not one but two drivers. You know, there's George Russell there as well, who I'm sure will be eyeing that Mercedes seat as well. So, Bottas is definitely under a lot of pressure and... really needs to stick it to Hamilton next year. But I think that's something that's going to be very difficult to do when we see the level that Hamilton is on right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So not really much to discuss for the Mercedes team. I mean, we said it, apart from maybe a more competitive second driver, there's not really much they need to change. But of course, as we all know, Toto Wolff, we all know the Mercedes team, they try to reach perfection in everything, and I'm 100% sure they will try to improve for next season as well. Moving on to Force India then, the second team we wanted to discuss today. I say Force India, not a racing point. I will need time to get used to that, or they might even change that name again, who knows. But difficult start to the season in general, and I think, a very eventful season as well, with them entering administration. And I think that poor start in the season was also caused by the lack of funds available, right?
Yeah, they had a very tough start. I mean, in the opening three races, they scored a single point, and then all of a sudden in Baku, they managed to grab a podium. And that podium actually sort of seemed like a bit of a... like a boost for them, because after that they score points pretty well after that, a number of double top 10 finishes for them. But you know, behind the scenes there was a much bigger story going on. We knew that their funds were not good, and that they were struggling, and it was only really a matter of time before they were gonna fall into administration. And I think when it did happen, it wasn't really much of a surprise, because there was rumors going around for a few weeks beforehand that it was gonna happen. So yeah, I think after it did happen and we got a purchase out of it and a new owner, it was a very good time for the team, and I believe that going forward it'll be a great situation for them. But yeah, in terms of their season though, I mean, they really started off quite poorly, despite that one podium that came in another Baku crazy race. But yeah, you know, after in the second half they were right up there as probably the fourth best team at many of the races, including
especially after their last upgrade in, I think it was around Singapore. Yeah,
but you know, you got to say that they're probably their best race of the whole year, or even their best weekend of the whole year, was perhaps in Belgium when they arrived. Their first race kind of as Racing Point Force India. Everyone was in high spirits because the team's future was secure, and then they went and locked out the second row in qualifying.
Yeah.
You know, crazy situation. And then in the race, you know, it was kind of hard to hold off the cars, the quicker cars behind, but they still managed to come home in fifth and sixth, which
and with the help of them, we got that great shot of Hamilton and Vettel and both Force Indias like approaching. Oh God, what is it? The end of the Camel Strait, and yeah, that produced a very good photo image right there. If you can remember that.
Yeah, of course, I remember. Yeah. It was a great moment, and I'm sure everyone at Force India enjoyed that brief, but exciting battle for the lead.
Yeah, printed the picture out and hung it onto every wall in the factory, probably. yeah, but as you said, I think one fact underlines that Force India had a very strong second season, and basically that is they lost all their points after they went into administration and Lawrence Stroll bought and the consortium bought the team. But after that, they managed to recover so well. And I probably have to look, or I had to look up how many points they actually scored after that. And they scored 52 points, finished 10 points behind McLaren. And McLaren had the whole season to score points. And I think that shows how good the car was in the last part of the season. And now the question really is, can the additional funds they have now available, can that lead to a more competitive 2019 car? I'd say maybe they can hold their position, but I'd say the real improvement we'll probably see in 2020, right?
Yeah, I mean, the investment is a long-term fix. You know, they're not going to be a title competing team next year or anything like that. I don't see why they can't battle next year for the top of the midfield, especially the way they ended the 2018 season. So
you'd think they'd invest more than Renault?
That's going to be intriguing. I mean, yeah, we'll wait and see. Renault definitely next year will be a very tough squad to beat, I think, should they get the car right. Because you know, Renault right now are I'm sure we'll talk about this whenever we do talk about Renault in the future, but you know, they're more focused on closing in on the top three more than pulling away from the midfield, if you get what I mean. And Force India, I think their goal right now is to get back on top of the midfield. But I mean, that gap between the top three and the rest of the field is still quite huge, so I don't see any reason why they shouldn't be able to, or why they shouldn't believe that they can be fourth best team next year.
Yeah, far away from fourth place in the Constructors' Championship was Williams this year, and it was, I think it officially was the worst season for Williams' team in history, right?
No, I don't think so.
No?
Didn't... they had a couple of pointless years, didn't they?
Yeah, but I mean... if I think the amount of times they got knocked out in Q1 was pretty high, and they started at least last or second to last without any penalties applied in many races. So yeah, it was a very, very difficult year. And also getting the news that their sponsor Martini would be leaving them, it was a hard year for them, right?
Yeah, actually, just looking, they've never had a pointless season.
Pun intended.
Yeah, they had 2 points in 83, and then of course they had those couple of dire years in 2011 and 2013, where they were pretty much nowhere. I'd maybe argue that 2013 was a well. Maybe not. I mean, I think their real issues this year, you could kind of see shone through in qualifying, and in the race they were nowhere really anyway because they were so far behind. But yeah, I mean, that the car was aerodynamically flawed from the very, very beginning.
And I think even Robert Kubica said it after he tested the car, and I think even now after the season he said that the car was really, really bad, really, really difficult to drive, right?
Yeah, and you know, there was a number of senior personnel that left the team throughout the year, some key engineers, and it was a pretty shocking year for Williams. Definitely, beyond the shadow of a doubt, their worst year in the turbo hybrid era. I mean, when you think back to the start of the turbo hybrid era in 2014 and 2015, yeah, where they finished, where they were frequently on the podium, and finishing third. I mean, third in the championship. You know, where Red Bull are now. I mean, maybe not quite because they didn't pick up wins or anything like that. But I mean, it's crazy to think that they were once beating Red Bull in this era that we're currently in. And yeah, I mean, this year, just they fell very, very hard. Picked up their first points in Baku. That race kind of seemed like the race where all the unusuals picked up their points. The ones you wouldn't expect to be in the top 10. And then, yeah, they got a double points finish in Italy, I think. But I think both of the points came... Stroll finished 10th, I think, and Sorokin finished 11th, but after the disqualification of Roman Grosjean, they were moved up to 9th and 10th, respectively. Yeah. But, I mean, other than that, there was no high point of the year, really. It was very, very tough for both drivers and for everyone at the team, because I'm sure behind the scenes there were, 24/7 work to see how they could improve, and it kind of just seemed like they were slipping further and further away throughout the year. And I really, really hope that next year, with their lineup of Kubica and Russell, a really exciting lineup, that they can build a bit of a better car and bounce back stronger, because it would be sad for them to see them slip further behind and see them sort of, I don't know, come into a role like we saw with Caterham or Marussia, or Manor, or something like that. And especially when you have a name such as Williams, who has such a huge and rich history in the sport, it would be a huge shame. But all I can do is just hope and pray that they get on top of the car and come out with a better package next year.
Totally agree with that, and it just shows that the sentence I say with every intro: the fast-moving world of Formula One. We see it, or we've seen it, with Williams, as you said, finishing on the podium, now at the back of the grid. It can move very quickly in Formula One. So, yeah, join us again next week when we review the seasons of Ferrari, Haas and Sauber. Until then, goodbye.
Goodbye.